Chapter 21. A quiet morning in Mira. The rains have stopped. Heat rises off the rooftops and streets, leaving everything smeary behind the vapor blur. A pair of cerulean skycatchers duck and dive in the air above Nora's head, chasing one another in what might be a territorial dogfight or a mating dance. Or both, perhaps given the nature of those plucky blue birds. It feels calm up here, on Esmel and Shireen's rooftop as she sips her tea. But the serenity outside does nothing to quell the chaos inside. Nora knows this feeling, suiting up for her Y-Wing, sitting there in the hangar on Home One, waiting for the signal, waiting for the jump to lightspeed. It was quiet then, too. A few murmured voices here and there, a droid burbling past, the sounds of the old frigate, a tink, tink, tink in the pipes behind the walls, a faint groan of metal on metal, the rumble of the air scrubbers kicking on. She tries not to feel sick, but today is like that day. She just wants to go home. But duty calls once more. Downstairs in the basement, Temin works on the droid. The other two manage some sleep. Nora did as well, though just a few hours, and even those were not without trouble. But the boy kept working. She admires him. He's like his father, single-minded and driven. But he's got her stubborn streak. Her anger, her cocky sure-footedness, the same sure-footedness that made her leave this planet and join the Rebel Alliance under the foolish assumption she alone would be able to find out where they were keeping her husband and... what? Rescue him? Like he was a princess trapped in a tower, like the old fairy tales? What a blubber-headed notion that was. Across the way, up toward the orchard, she sees another rooftop. An older couple sits up there. She recognizes them. They've been here for years, those two. The pair, a couple of old shriveled Bith. She forgets their names, though Esmel probably knows them. The two Bith sit there under an umbrella, watching the sunrise over the distant jungle, sipping from a single cylinder, probably a cup of Orate slurry. Bith seem to love the stuff. Peaceful people, the Bith. Nora wishes she could be like them. Just then, a sound in the distance. A sound Nora knows deep in her bones before her ears even receive it. The roar of a TIE fighter. It streaks past, flying low, toward the city center. The Bith, peace-loving, Orate-sipping Bith, stand up. The old man has a blaster rifle he yanks out from under his chair. And next thing Nora knows, he screams a babble of profanity in his native tongue before firing futile laser bolts at the screaming Imperial fighter. The Bith woman, she shakes her fist and joins in the tirade. It hits Nora then. Of course. Of course. She's about to turn around and head back inside when out over the city center, an explosion rocks the sky. Nora spins and sees up there in the clouds something burning. A small black shape. A ship. Suddenly listing hard and plunging through the whirling clouds. Another flash. A cannon blast from a turbo laser punches up through the sky. It hits something up there. Something small. A soldier, maybe? Her middle tightens. A rebel soldier? It makes sense. But that means their timetable just changed. With the last hit from the spanner, the battle droid's eyes pulse and flicker back to life. The speaker underneath the thing's pointed metal beak utters a grinding, stuttering sound. Temin hits it again.
Roger, roger!
The droid stands up. Servo motors whir as it regards its repaired arm. An arm that's not so much an arm as it is an astromech leg. It spins the leg around, slow at first, then faster and faster until it's just a blur.
This is not my arm. I know, Bones. Sorry.
This is an astromech leg.
No, I know.
Astromechs are inferior. They are trash cans. I am made inferior by the inclusion of this non-arm.
Temin shrugs.
I promise I'll get you fixed up when we get back to the shop. Right now, this is what my aunts had around.
Down here in the basement workshop is where he first built Bones, cobbled together from scrapped droids he found in the catacombs beneath the cities. Debris and ruination from the Clone Wars. When the factory down there, now a gutted, flame-charred crater, still pumped out droids for the Separatists. He reaches for the spanner and collapses it. It's a little multi-tool he always keeps at his belt. Can become nearly any tool he needs just by telescoping out different prongs. He twirls it, pops it back on his utility belt.
Perhaps I can still be functional.
The droid thrusts the astromech leg forward.
I can bludgeon those who would hurt you. I will beat them to a greasy treacle paste. Do not worry, Master Temin. You are safe.
Thanks, Bones.
Temin throws his arms around the droid. The droid returns the hug, admittedly with one arm. The astromech leg just kind of pats him on the side of his arm.
I thought I lost you.
He's had Bones for a while now. The thought of losing this droid.
I did good. I came back.
You did. Thanks, Bones.
Roger.
A creak of a board. Someone shifting weight on the plankwood steps. It's his mother. They stare at each other for a few moments, like they don't know how to deal with each other. Because they don't, do they? They're strangers to each other. He realizes that now. He lifts his head. He's embarrassed. Did she see him hug his droid? Ugh.
Mom, you could knock or something next time.
Temin, something has happened, and I think I have a plan.
I'll be right up.
She waits there for a moment.
What? Spit it out.
I'm glad we're back together. And I'm glad your droid is fine. He seems to mean a lot to you.
No, he doesn't. He's just a droid, okay? I said I'll be right up.
His mother offers a small smile and nod, then returns upstairs. When she's gone, Temin whispers to the droid.
I didn't mean that.
I know.
You're the best.
I know that too.
Esmel meets her at the top of the steps. Her sister gently closes the door. Worry crosses the woman's face. Her features bunch up like a drawstring cinched tight.
Is the droid okay?
I think so.
Nora neglects to mention the astromech arm that has now replaced his missing one.
Sort of?
That droid means a lot to him.
So I gathered.
No, you don't get it. He built Mr. Bones the year you left. Temin doesn't have many friends. That droid might be it.
You can't be friends with a droid.
Well, he is. Temin was getting taunted and beaten by a gang of young tyrants. Bones protected him. He's not just a bodyguard. When you took off on your trip...
I get it, Nora snaps. You think I should feel bad about leaving? I do feel bad. I felt bad then, I feel worse now. I'm trying to fix things.
And yet, here you are, doing more work for the rebels. It's your son that needs you, Nora. Not this crusade of yours.
Crusade? That's how Esmel sees it? Nora snarls.
War is coming to Akiva, Esme. Not later. Soon. Now, maybe. You can pretend that it won't land on your doorstep, but trust me, you soft-handed, weak-backed sister of mine, no amount of wishing will hold back the tide. Now step aside. I don't have time for this conversation.
Her sister protests, but Nora pushes past her.
Can't I just sit back and watch?
Sinjir says.
It's just him and Jazz. In front of them, another display of kitchen implements and foodstuffs. The map of Mira has grown since last night.
All this business is really quite distasteful. I could sit back, hold up scorecards, do a little proper cheerleading.
He takes a nip from the unlabeled bottle. The liquor is sweet. Honey on the front and lavender at the finish. The taste lingering on his tongue is coppery, almost electric, like he's licking the top of a thorium battery.
I told you, I need actual help, not the illusion of help.
Jazz stares at him, sees him drinking. She snatches the bottle out of his hands, sniffs it.
Hey, that's no way to be.
You're a drunk.
I'm no such thing. I'm no drunker than a pickle. I brine myself in order to maintain a low level of...
He waggles his fingers in the air.
Fuzziness. I find life is so much more pleasant that way.
I need you clear.
Oh,
he mopes.
We're perfectly clear.
The bounty hunter stares holes through him.
What happened to you, on Endor? I do remember you. Standing there, covered in blood. Yours?
He sneers.
I do not want to talk about this.
And yet here we are, talking about it.
She sits down, sighs.
I became a bounty hunter because I did not like the life my mother had chosen for me. It felt overly arranged. It choked me. So I took after my mother's sister. Aunt Sugi was a bounty hunter too. Thing is, Sugi always worked with a crew. She was no lone bird, no rogue operator. One thing I learned from her was, if I was going to work with a crew, I had to trust them. I had to know them. So I didn't work with the crew. Because I trusted myself above anyone else. Now here I am, working with you.
Which, let's be honest, makes you very fortunate. I'm really very cool. It's almost as if you've won the Empire Day Lottery.
He smirks.
Hey, if you have a ship, where is it? Can't we use it to just flit off this rock? Go find something better to do?
It's a few days' walk out into the jungle,
she says. But the way she says it indicates that the Zabrak isn't buying any of it.
Had to make sure my trek into the city was unseen.
Convenient, by way of grave inconvenience.
She stares holes through him.
What happened that day? On Endor?
You know what happened. You were there.
To you? What happened to you?
Sinjir puts forth a grim smile, trying not to speak aloud the memories that are tearing him apart.
Fine. You really want to know? You won't stop poking? Let's have it then.
He swirls the honeyed liquid around the bell of the bottle.
So, like I said, I was an Imperial loyalty officer on the base of Endor, and... Oh, look, it's Nora.
He nearly drops the bottle when he sees her step into the kitchen.
Her, Nora, standing right there, fuming. Chest rising and falling like that of a beast who smells blood on the wind.
He should have heard her come up, but with the drinking and talking...
An Imperial? She says. I'm sure you misheard me, he says. I said... Mimperial.
He frowns and...
That's not a word, is it? An Imperial? She says again, louder this time. Nora, listen. She charges at him, tackles him to the counter.
Bowls clatter. The salt cellar spins off the edge of the table and shatters.
Her hands wrap around his throat, and her face hovers over his. I should have known, she says. You didn't carry yourself like one of us. Too superior. Too nose at the sky. That accent, too. Crisp, like a bitten cracker. You son of a Gundark!
The click of a blaster.
Jazz presses it to the side of Nora's head. The bounty hunter speaks in a calm voice.
Nora, you're going to have to make peace with this. If you can't make peace, everything falls apart. He was an Imperial, and we can use him.
It's like watching the mist clear out over lake water. The fight goes out of Nora, and she falls into this thousand-meter stare. Sinjir eases out of her slackening grip and rubs his throat.
We can use him, Nora says. You're right.
Her focus snaps back, and it's as if she's made a decision.
Something has happened. The timeline has changed. We need to move now.
From behind them, Temin says,
Am I interrupting something?
Nobody says anything.
What's going on? Hello? Anybody?
Nora smiles and says, I have a plan.